I did not leave the land of never-ending winter and embrace Vara, the spirit of summer, as my patron, in order to simply sit back and take it when winter intrudes upon my season in my home. The Borderwood is a wild place, yes, but not normally a dangerous, deadly place. It should be full of game, woodcutters, vivid colors, not necromancy, totsil worms, and snow. So much thrice-cursed snow. I would have thought, Vithia's fur, that Norm would handle the cold well. The rest of us are fine. But no, he has been struggling despite his furs upon furs upon furs. We have found some gear buried and booby-trapped, but have not found yet what we are truly looking for. Lady Argentine and some sign of what or who is responsible for all of this nonsense. We have faced zombies and a totsil worm and are surrounded by evidence of far worse at play. The deeper we get into the wood, the farther we are from the warmth and safety of home back in Heldren. Not that it will stay either warm or safe if this spreads. Vara, help us. I can only hope that fate is on our side as we proceed. Two rat folk, a witch, a mercenary, a weasel, and a donkey. Dermo, we're fucked, aren't we?
Awesome.
That was great.
Yeah. Thank you, Vasilisa. Slight housekeeping before we begin. A couple life events have happened for people since we last played. And as life events unfold, I like to reward people for pseudo leveling up. Zach Kreitler, congratulations what? On having a birthday and making it another trip around the sun.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
You, sir. Happy birthday.
And Elizabeth Wilcox, congratulations on getting married.
Woo! Woo! Are you giving yourself a bottle cap, too?
I was anticipating that.
I can't.
As soon as he started talking, I'm like, he's about to give himself a bottle cap.
I'm waiting for you to disadvantage.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, Elizabeth and I got married.
Congratulations.
That is your bottle cap. You got
that. That is my bottle cap. Yeah, absolutely.
True. You're good to go. In fact, give her two.
Yeah. Now, Vasilisa covered most of what we did last time. I would like to remind everybody where we are starting. Exactly. You guys have just defeated the Tatzelworm, a white, snowy, Chinese dragon-type creature that burst from the ground and attacked Marge. You guys swiftly defeated it, and now you stand over its dead body in a snowy clearing. And it is currently 4:15 p.m. You all know that if you were to leave right now, it would take you 4 hours to get back to the town of Heldren. You know that the sun sets around 7 o'clock. So if you left now to make it back, it would be dark before you could get there. Standing over the body of the Tatzelworm, the fight over, what do our heroes do?
I'd like to check our surroundings and see if we're still in danger in any way.
Okay. Perception, please.
Vasilisa is doing that as well. She's probably not going to do it as well as Valdine, but I will roll anyway.
27.
11.
27. Well above average. 11. Exactly almost average. Looking around, you guys don't see anything threatening at all. There's nothing else in the vicinity in terms of wildlife or magical poison fires or jellies and slimes. None of that stuff.
So you don't sense anything dangerous with the exception of the kick-ass ratfolk couple that are right next to you. I mean, obviously, they're dangerous.
Oh, definitely.
Correct. Yep. So this area in the center of the clearing you guys are at is where the Tatzelworm popped out of. It was in the center of the drag path that you guys have been following for the past couple hours through the Borderwood. You are right along the ridgeline of a cliff with several trees around you. The ground is piled with snow. The only area that isn't so heavily snowed in is the trail you have been following.
And the trees look kind of like dead and craggy?
No, the trees are still alive. You can tell that the winter snow hasn't sent them into dormancy yet. Gotcha. They are not hibernating. What do you call it when trees fall asleep? There's a word for
it. No, yeah, there is. I used to have a bunch of plants that did that.
Well, whatever that word is. Wait. That's what they haven't gone through yet. They
when you're still dormant. Dormant? They go dormant? Dormant.
That's what I said, but it doesn't sound right.
I think it's might be dormant.
The trees are very much in their summer state, yes, only they are covered still, in snow and
yeah,
sack.
They are still green. Some of the trees around here are pines, and as we all know, pine trees don't hibernate. Dormant.
They are evergreen, yes.
Yes, evergreen. That makes sense, because they are always green. Yeah, so the pine trees around are evergreeny and stuff, but there's also some like oaks and aspens and things like that that would normally lose their leaves in the colder temperatures, but they haven't acclimated to the weather yet.
Dormant was correct.
Ah, wonderful.
They're the dormant life form on the planet.
This has been your Knowledge Nature Check, brought to you by the Dimension Door Podcast.
Dimension Door.
I love that.
Nice.
Yeah, so looking around, you don't see any other threats or anything particularly interesting.
Well then, I'm not sure we're going to want to stay here too much longer. Should we keep going forward, try and find a good place to camp?
I think so. I believe Argentine must be further into the forest. If we proceed further, but carefully, then hopefully we will find some place safe to camp. Is anyone here good at finding safe places in the forest? I usually have someone along to help with that.
That would be a survival check.
I have a compass, if it helps anybody.
It gives you a bonus to your survival check to navigate.
Nice.
If anyone could use it.
But
well, I feel like we should be following the trail there.
I mean, I could do it untrained.
I could take a look around, see what I can find. But I usually just sleep wherever.
I think the main thing is that we need somewhere where Norm will not freeze while we sleep. We should start collecting some wood, some sort of firewood as we go. Yes?
Oh, sure. Well, there's a lot of trees around here that are, these are all still alive though, so they're not going to burn too well.
We should keep moving and keep an eye out, collect some firewood, get deeper into the forest. Perhaps not be directly on the path while we sleep for safety.
Anybody want to give me survival?
I will try. Right. I will, but I don't count on it.
So it's 16.
I got a 5. 5.
Yeah, yeah, it's 7 over here. So
the rat's got a 16 and a 13.
Oh. Well, you know, we go traveling a lot through nature.
We did have to survive.
Yes, exactly.
Who got the 16?
I did.
Okay. I think that with your cavalier training and stuff like that, you guys have just encountered a predator.
Mm-hmm.
You are in its territory, and it is dead. Chances are there isn't going to be any other kind of predator or prey in the immediate area. It might be a good place to camp.
That
you guys,
makes sense.
Yeah. So if you want to get away from the ridgeline and go into the more heavily wooded areas, you definitely could.
Now, it burst out from under the ground. It was like hiding in the snow?
It was hiding in the snow. It was like in a snowpack that you guys walked over.
Okay. And, yeah. And I don't notice anything about the spot that it jumped out from, right? Like, it's just it was just a hunting spot that it had picked, not like a den or anything.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking that this here worm is dead, then this is a pretty safe spot to stay. I don't think anything else will be coming through here thinking the worm is still alive.
Well, that's actually a pretty clever idea, hun.
We can just go off into the woods a little bit and stay off the trail. I know it's a bit early, but
it won't seem that early by the time we have our camp up, I think, and then
it'll probably take you guys about an hour to make camp, set up your tents, gather some firewood and get that going. By then, it's going to be probably about 5:30, only a couple hours away from nighttime.
Well, and if you wanted to travel for a little while, we could just take the body with us and carry it around, since it's the worm that's keeping us safe.
Oh, it doesn't work that way, dear.
Oh.
No, it's the worm. This is the worm's hunting area, so things are staying away because they think it's here to eat it. To eat them.
So it's like a scarecrow.
Right.
Should we, like, prop it up on a stick?
Well, I don't think that's going to do much either. But then they'll see it's dead, and then it's fair game, this whole area.
So should we hide the body?
You do see a nice stick nearby as you think about that. For using as a pike.
Like we could put it up on this like little half tree over here.
I say we do not touch the Tatzelwyrm too much, but that is just me. And Vasilisa's just like patting Marigold still.
Aww.
Well, it looks kind of heavy, so if you want to just leave it there, I suppose that's just as good.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Well, now, what if some of us stay here to set up camp and a couple more just kind of venture ahead just a little bit just to see what's up there, further up the trail?
I would be a little bit worried about splitting up after the whole zombies and Tatzelwyrm things. I do not think it looks as though we are very good at anticipating danger.
That's a pretty good point.
No, I kind of want to stay near the pepper box and the flaming cards. That'd be a good idea.
Okay, then.
Let us just go into the trees a bit, get some wood, make a fire, warm up our poor Norm. He keeps getting too cold.
Oh, I should do that, though. I should be the one to go get the wood.
No. Well, that's not going to help you with your getting warm.
No, but I feel like it's me that's kind of slowing everybody down. Like, we would be further now if you guys didn't have to wait for me.
Oh, no, that's okay, Normie.
You should rest. Someone else can take care of getting
there. No, I actually feel okay right now.
That is because Marge here keeps poking you with Ervand. So.
Well, she's a sweetie.
Oh, thanks.
True. Anywho, let us go.
And Vasilisa just kind of starts leading Marigold, trudging kind of like into the trees.
So you guys head into the woods and you start setting up camp. Are you guys actually going to allow Norm to go out and get the firewood?
No, okay. Not alone.
Okay.
If you you have to come with me.
Sure. I just want to contribute. You know, I just want to feel like I'm not just doing nothing but holding you guys back. I want to do something positive.
Yeah, at least two people must go together. So.
You going with me, sweetie?
Sure. We can bring Ghost.
Okay. Two people and...
She can carry all the wood we find.
Okay.
So our lovely married couple Ratfolk head off into the surrounding area to gather wood with their cute little weasel woman Ghost.
I spy with my little... No, I'm kidding.
Valdine and Vasilisa, what are you guys doing around the camp?
We did take a tent off of Ghost, and we've got bed rolls and stuff like that for our... It's a smaller tent. Yeah. You guys probably wouldn't fit in it too much because it's...
Vasilisa has an efficient tent, so it'll hold two people if Valdine needs to share a tent.
Yeah, Valdine probably will take the first watch. Cool. Probably talk about watch with you.
Like. Yeah. Yeah, so I imagine it's a lot of discussing how should the night proceed. Mm-hmm. Vasilisa unloading Marigold, pulling out supplies for some food for the evening and a tent, and trying to help set up the teeny tiny tent that the rat folk left behind, because that looks easy enough. And I imagine it takes Vasilisa so long to set up tents that by the time you guys get back with wood, that's all she's managed to accomplish.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So Valdine probably is looking around the trees to see where the possible like areas he could set up something in the way between trees, mm-hmm. something that kind of like gives some sort of a barrier or something to indicate if something approaches us.
Okay.
Like fallen twigs, branches, whatever he can put together. Create some sort of
a noisy ground.
Yeah, some sort of a way to indicate something's approaching.
Okay.
As best you can.
I like that. I think you go around and you find a lot of like dead twigs mm-hmm. and branches and stuff, and you can set up a pseudo alert line for like snapping stuff.
Yep.
Excellent.
Sweet.
Vasilisa is going to carefully fully unload, take the saddlebags off of Marigold to give her a rest during the night, and she'll use her carefully packed dandy brush to give Marigold a good brush down and make sure she ties her up securely somewhere safe. Kind of near the tents, but probably just tied to a sturdy tree.
Okay, perfect. Marigold has an internal monologue about how much she appreciates you and is glad to be relieved of the heavy weight. She nuzzles you affectionately.
Veldine's probably cleaning the gun at this point.
Okay.
Empties it, reloads it, cleans it.
And about the time you finish that and about the time that all the tents are set up, Norm, Marge, and Ghost make their way back to camp with an ample supply of firewood.
We're back.
Well, now, Vasilisa, you've got a way to light this fire, yeah?
I mean,
she set up our tent. Look.
Well, she was doing the sparky things with her fingers before.
Yes, today I am able to just spark it. And she sparks her fingertips one more time.
Well, that'll work great. Oh, and yes, thank you for setting up the tent there.
Oh, of course. It is a team effort. If you want to arrange the wood, I will light the fire. I imagine we just get a nice campfire going.
Marge will arrange it in kind of like a teepee style, hoping that'll make it kind of a big bonfire type of situation there to
keep us warm
throughout the night.
Oh, that works really well.
Okay, cool. You guys do that. What does everybody have for food?
I have rations, trail rations.
Me too.
Yes, I have trail rations, quite a bit of them, and I also have some animal feed for my weasel. Nice. Carnivore animal feed, which is a lot more expensive than regular animal feed.
I believe that.
I'm going to pull out a pot from my cooking set and start melting snow for some nice water so we can refill water skins and I can make some new tea.
Yeah, I like that.
So while we were out getting the wood, I mean, I know I have the rations back too, but I also grabbed some, can I roll to see if I found any berries?
I'll have you roll.
Some kind of fruit or something.
Well, I mean, it would normally be in season.
Food, yeah.
It's a 16 natural survival. I've got an unadjusted 16.
What are Norm's top three berries?
he likes elderberries. And he likes, there's these little tiny, like reddish orange sweet ones. He doesn't actually know what they're called. And then he likes snozzberries.
All right, cool. You find some blueberries.
But
there's a lot of them.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to grab like a good pouch full and kind of snack on them, but also offer to add them to the tea if you think it'd be a nice addition.
Blueberry
to
tea.
I definitely accept that. I love berries.
They're sweet. It's nice.
All these yummier fruits are good.
So you guys have your camp set up. You got a nice fire going. You're brewing some tea. It is about 5:30 as you guys reconvene around the fire.
It says the sun hasn't even gone down yet. We're just kind of like, it's dusky.
Yep.
It's starting to get dusky.
Yeah. Especially with the clouds, though, it probably looks darker than it normally would.
Yeah.
So have any of you ever fought anything like zombies or other undead before today?
I have not.
No, the only experience we have with this kind of stuff is us coming in after an attack already happened. Seeing the aftermath.
I've heard tale of such things before, but nothing seen in person with my own eyes.
I am a bit worried because I am not experienced with the undead either, and obviously there is a necromancer here somewhere.
So we haven't been back here in like 30 years, but so this isn't normal, right? Because
oh no,
I don't remember. We were so young. I don't remember if like there was just always like a lot of zombies around this part of town, and moved away.
I'm pretty sure it's not a normal thing here.
Okay, that's probably
or anywhere for that matter.
If it was normal, that would explain why we moved away.
I am not very skilled at it, but I would like to try to see if I can sense a nearby grave or burial site, just to see which way the new zombies might come from during the night.
Oh, how do you do that?
It is called dowsing. You can look for water, for stones, for minerals, and for graves. I'm not very good at it, but I think it is worth a try. And Vasilisa pulls out a tool and kind of folds it out into a dowsing rod. And she goes off and starts wandering around like the tent area in circles. It takes her a good 10 minutes, and it is unfortunately a survival check with a it's a DC 20 survival check to find within a certain range the nearest like grave site.
Okay.
So she's gonna give it a shot just in case. Oh, hey, there's a grave within, let's see, 400 feet plus 440 feet is the range.
Okay, I'm ready.
She's probably gonna fail, not gonna lie, but she's giving it a shot. She fails. She super fails.
Dang.
She could have found water with that roll, but nothing else. There is
you sense
no-
frozen water everywhere. Yeah, you don't. It fails.
10 minutes later, she just sits down and gives a hapless little, "Oh, told you I wasn't good at it." Shrug.
I don't remember if we talked about how the first zombies were dressed. Was there any indication of what they were wearing? We never talked about it, did we?
No, we didn't.
I feel like we would have noticed.
Yeah. Did we notice anything that they were wearing?
Yeah, you guys would have noticed.
I guess what I'm wondering is, are these bodies from the raid on the caravan, or are these bodies from something else, like older?
Did we mention anything about whether they looked like soldiers, or because we just kind of assumed they were the bodies that were dragged away?
Because that frozen guy.
I picture when you say zombie, I just picture a generic like wearing a vest that's tattered, right? So, pants with no socks.
So they had like shoes and pants and like basic shirts, but they weren't wearing any armor.
Oh, almost like someone tore all of their armor off and buried it underneath a booby-trapped chest in the forest.
Yep, you can totally make that conclusion.
Nice. It makes a lot of sense.
Good
or
job,
they just were different people that were never wearing armor to begin with.
You know, one of those things. I think that if no one else has anything they're discussing, that kind of around the campfire while we're sitting, apart from deciding who's going to take what sort of watch rotation, Vasilisa is going to share any stories she might have about what kind of Irisin creatures and winter-related dangers she's most concerned about running into. I don't know what snow creatures she might bring up. She'll probably have a lot to say about if you think that you see a witch casting cold spells, look out. Winter witches are nothing to be messed with, and I do not just say that because my mother is a winter witch.
Oh, geez.
They are no good. So
you hate your mother?
She started it, so I would say she hates me. I simply returned the favor.
All right.
I was going to ask about the Morosovos and like, you know, what their history is, but that sounds like maybe it's a touchy subject.
Families are complicated.
Yes. I am a bit of a disappointment. So really, it is my fault.
Well,
you may be a disappointment to one person, but, you know, your world is a lot bigger than that. And you could not be a disappointment to other people.
Thank you, Norm.
Yeah, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Right? You can't.
Well, are you calling her trash?
Well, that's not what I meant.
Well, that's not very nice, Valdine. And while we're all kind of hanging out, talking and eating and everything, after Ghost has his little meat treat, he's going to like curl up and just kind of sleep.
Cool.
She's going to curl. Damn it. I did that. I went back and forth in the last episode of between he and she for Ghost.
I mean,
sometimes
in the same sentence. Maybe
sometimes
Ghost
is
non-binary,
right?
You won't
he,
know
she,
until
they,
you
it.
Actually cast Speak with Animal.
There you go.
Which we don't have because we're not spellcasters.
Yeah. Gonna have to wait to find a wand or a scroll or pay somebody.
Or a witch.
Or a witch.
Who can have her cards learn the scroll. Yeah.
Ooh, didn't know your cards could do that.
Jeez, Ghost, we never knew your voice was so annoying.
The scroll near the cards. The cards kind of It's a very difficult to explain process.
Wait, so does that mean, have you done that to Marigold? Have you talked to Marigold? You know?
No, I do not know the speak with animals spell yet, which is why I say, if you find a piece of paper and you cannot read what is on it, it might be magical writing. I will read it. I will set it on fire. My cards will learn.
Right, because you can't tell just by looking?
I mean, I would have to remember that day how to read magic, and I don't every day. It's a bit complicated. Today I could read magic, but no scrolls, so.
Well, we'll see what we find.
For sure.
So is there anything else you guys want to talk about with each other? You're sitting around the campfire eating. Any points you want to bring up? Any questions you want to ask each other? Anything you're curious about?
I mean, I was going to go into family history on both of them, but they both seem so like kind of closed off. It's hard to breach it, and I don't want to pry.
Vasilisa is open to talking about it. She just doesn't like her family.
If the conversation turns to like hatred or frustration, like I'd be like, oh, maybe that was the wrong path to go down, and I'm gonna try and change the subject to something else that's a little
which you know, totally makes sense.
But like, there's nothing good in trying to find something nice to talk about. Like, what do you enjoy? And everything we talk about is just like the stupid monsters and zombies and winter and family and
winter and cold, pretty bleak. So I mean, it kind of brings the mood down anyway.
Oh, you can never get us down though.
That's fair,
right? Because even like when it's dark outside, like
we still got each other, dear.
Every dark cloud has a silver spoon in its mouth, and. You just got to know how to look for it.
I have heard some combination of cloud and silver, but not this particular saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, the sun's going down, but you can tell that one right there still kind of looks like a spoon.
Did you say that you are from this area near Heldren?
Oh, we were real little, though, originally, yeah.
Oh, this is where we were born, yeah.
Oh, well, where did you spend most of your time? Where did these sayings come from?
Oh, we were about 50 miles, what was that, east?
Northwest.
So. Yeah, sure.
Yes. Every direction. The cardinal direction, northwest, east.
I remember now that you do not eat. Own a compass and
no, we do own a compass. It's on Ghost, remember?
Okay, so I remember now that you are not so good at the directions. So.
Well, we made our way back here, you know. I think we're doing okay.
Hey, how many children did you have? Did you say?
Oh dear! Gosh.
Do we have to go count them now?
I know.
No,
but
it was plenty.
And I think
it was definitely enough.
Well, I think there were a couple that weren't even ours. They just kind of hung out. It's hard to tell when there's so many running around, you know. I think there's...
That is fair.
22, you know, I... Oh, gosh,
or
I have to count.
You know.
Or so, yeah.
Did you leave them somewhere? Are they not...
Oh, they're all,
they're all grown
and living their lives of their own.
Oh, okay.
Don't forget we're retired.
I mean, a lot of them did stay nearby, but...
Sure, sure.
But yeah, they've all got their own thing going on.
Never encountered many rat folks in my travels.
No, but most of them are good.
Well, we tend to stay out of the way of you guys, too.
Hmm. I won't say you can trust all of them.
Well, you know, shiny things.
I suppose that's true of whatever race you're talking about, though.
This is fair.
Yeah.
There are plenty of humans I would not want to talk to.
What do you think is the most trustworthy race? Like, what's the race where you kind of do just automatically want to give them the benefit of the doubt?
Halflings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're so cute too, yes.
This feels a bit like a loaded question.
People have different life experiences than we do, and we like to like ask questions and learn what other people believe.
This is fair.
But that's a good point, though. Halflings are usually very sweet.
That's the correct answer.
I mean, for all I know, there is even a single good winter witch somewhere. I doubt it, but it is possible. Aww. So
it'd be nice if it was your mom.
No, Moya Mama is not a good person. You might even say she is an evil person.
Oh, that's too
would
bad.
Be accurate.
Well, I'm glad you pulled away from that then.
Oh, yes. I mean, I failed all the tests at my witch school, so it was a bit inevitable.
Side quest. Find Vasilisa Morozova's mother and cast Detect Alignment. Confirm her story.
She lives in Mirozny.
Or they just really misunderstood each other and neither one of them is evil.
And neither of them is evil and it brings them closer together and they actually start to foster a healthy relationship.
Now, I did not say I was good. I said my mother was evil. There is differences there. So.
What a mystery.
Oh, sure. You just got to think, like, well, what would a hobbit do? Like, how would a hobbit handle the situation?
What's a hobbit?
Try and do that. It's a regional thing that we call halflings.
I think it's another of those rat folk sayings.
It's a regional copyrighted trademark thing that, that we call halflings.
It's related to silver spoons or something.
Yeah, something.
So how are you guys going to handle the night? Normally, you need 8 hours of continuous rest, but Valdine has set up a perimeter.
Well, I can have Ghost keep an eye out, too. I've trained him to watch and give an alarm when something's coming. Give an alarm.
Should I use the word ghost now as like
ghost?
The...
Mm-hmm. I'll just say ghost instead of he or she.
Yeah. Use they. We'll give them...
The ghost.
So you have established a perimeter, a slight noise-making perimeter. Are you just going to have Ghost stay up all night?
I'll probably take the first watch and recommend to the group that we do some sort of rotation at least through most of the night, if not all of it.
Yeah, because if she stays awake all night long, then she's going to be so tired the next day, and we need her to walk with us.
Yeah, I think you guys start after you eat and everything, the sun's gone down, you stay with the fire a little bit. It's about 8 o'clock at night. When you guys are discussing how you want to handle sleeping.
I think Vasilisa would offer to kind of go to bed first so that she wakes up the earliest so she can kind of take the last watch since she needs to spend... I need to spend a good amount of time consulting my cards in the morning, so I might as well be... the one who is awake first, if that is okay.
I'll take the first watch then, get the night started.
Okay, so you and I can, like, we can sleep a little bit, and then we can watch a little bit, and then we can sleep a little bit more.
Sure, and Ghost can take a turn too.
Sure, or we could just let Ghost sleep. I feel like we've been putting so much work on her, you know? We're making her carry all this stuff, and then she had to carry me for a long time.
Well, that's what she's here for.
Yeah, I know. I just want to reward her with, like, a good night's sleep and a treat.
All right.
But you and I can do a watch together, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. So we'll do the middle watch.
Okay.
I made a perimeter around the area, so we got 2 points of entry.
I stepped on some stuff when we were coming back from getting the firewood. It was all crunchy.
Yeah, so there's 2 areas that you can walk through without making noise. We could use that for going in and out of the camp area so we can hear if anything approaches.
Okay. Well,
that sounds good.
I wanted you to know we were coming back anyway, so that was good.
Thank you. Thank you, Norm.
How long logistically should each watch be? Like 2 hours per person?
Yeah, 2 hours is about.
Wouldn't give these guys, Marge and Norm, enough sleep hours.
Because
they
need 8 hours of coverage,
a total
right?
of 8.
You need 8 hours of sleep.
We need 8 hours of coverage of watch then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need more than 8 hours each. Total. We need enough hours for 2 extra.
Yep.
So and we're not spellcasters, well, so we don't necessarily need the full 8, but just to be rested.
Right. Well, you, I think, oh no, you're not
nothing at all.
Hypothermic anymore.
So, yeah, with hypothermia being a possibility tomorrow, we don't want anyone to start out with any level of fatigue or you're going to get knocked on your butt.
Sure, so Valdine watches for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then can sleep for 8. We can watch for 4 hours. You can watch for 4 hours. While he sleeps for 8. So it's a 16-hour.
It gives us 12 hours.
It's a 12-hour, yeah.
Of downtime, but we're each 4 hours getting 8 hours of sleep.
Yep.
Well, we're going to bed early enough, so it should be fine.
Yeah. That's what cool. sounds good.
I think that math works out. So you guys will get 12 hours total of resting time and watch time, which will lead you guys to 8 a.m. in the morning. The last person on the watch is Vasilisa Morozova. And everybody give me a perception check for your watch.
I got a 12.
All right.
I got a 20.
Jeez, I only got an 11.
22.
Cool. Jeez.
Well, it's a good thing we were going together.
The night is uneventful. You guys don't hear any creatures outside. You don't hear anything crunching in the snow or past the twig line. It's quiet. Almost too quiet.
Do we?
Nah, it's regularly quiet.
I was gonna say, do we hear birds? Do we hear?
Nope. It's quiet.
Do we hear wind?
Yeah, there's a little bit of wind coming through, rustling the branches and stuff.
And what does the sky look like in the morning?
The sky looks cloudy.
Still cloudy.
Yep, still cloudy. Still snowing on you guys. Your fire, yes. Your fire has kept up through the night. Those of you on watch have stoked it and kept it warm. Mm-hmm. I think your tents are pretty close to the fire, so the heat is radiating into it. So you guys could take off your winter clothes and just kind of spread out and relax a little bit, get some good night's sleep. And in the morning, 8 a.m., Vasilisa goes around and wakes everybody up by slapping them on the face.
Hey!
Right?
I mean, the GM said it happened.
The
so it happened.
Traditional waking ritual of Vasilisa.
I'm like, this is the song of my people.
Wake up!
I feel like there's more to that wake up than...
She probably doesn't slap people unless you want to do that.
No,
wait, is this a... Now that you guys are married,
so
is that how she wakes you up?
What
is that why? Is this IRL?
Good morning, James. Slap.
Just a giggle.
Ready to serve me?
No, nothing like that.
I think instead she'll just make sure there's a pot of boiling tea water kind of ready by the fire and go around and gently, you know, water with tea leaves in it. Tea water.
Tea.
Otherwise
it sounds delicious. I like tea and I like water. I'd kind of love to try this.
So she'll get some tea brewing and kind of, I mean, she'll pull out one of her rations and she'll go around and just kind of, you know, not knock at people's tents, but probably do that little thing you do when you're camping where you kind of shake on the front of someone's tent.
We just go take the zipper and just go like a little ding-dong.
Yeah, like imagine there were zippers. She pretends there's a zipper and goes zip zip, everybody. It is morning.
It must be an Irison thing.
It doesn't matter how many syllables are in the word. Vasilisa has to add three Y's to it.
Zip,
yep,
zip,
yep, zip, zip.
Yeah. All right, so you all get up. You have a nice, wonderful morning pot of tea, perhaps with some of the remaining blueberries, and eat some more rations, get ready for the day to come. You guys only have one spellcaster, and she has already taken the time to prepare her spells. So you guys can start breaking camp and probably get back on the road by 9.
Sounds good.
Now, I have a question for you that the Tessel Worm.
Yeah.
Is it edible? Like, if I cut meat off for... I'm mostly thinking about Ghost, because Ghost is a forager and does eat meat, you know, also eats veggies, but I didn't bring a ton of rations for Ghost,
right,
thinking we could pick stuff up on the
so
way.
So you're asking me... That's why you're asking if it was venomous or poisonous?
Right, yeah.
I think you can try.
Hope it doesn't make
you
sick.
I mean, you don't seem... I would make this a profession butcher check, but nobody is ever going to have that. So I think it would be a survival check to actually like...
Just like take, so, you know, this a chunk, take a knife, take a chunk of the
yeah,
skin.
Yeah, but you're
going
to have to...
Unless anyone can detect poison,
yeah,
that's usually the primary concern.
Yeah, I mean, you're not...
It'd
I don't think you're skilled
a knowledge nature or a knowledge whatever the identifying of the creature check would be would tell you.
Yeah.
But we already failed that.
In terms of like actually like finding meat and carving it out as opposed to just getting like organs or like other stuff like that, I think you have to roll a check to see how long it takes you to get something salvageable.
Is there enough greenery under the snow that if I like shake off some key plants, Marigold can graze?
Yeah.
Because
it's
snow covered summer, not like actual winter.
You could probably, like spark your hands to make them warm and just kind of like gently melt some of the snow?
Not today. I don't know spark today.
But you could
prepare spells.
Yesterday.
Feeling weird.
Yeah, I think you can clear some snow for Marigold.
I don't want to risk a forest fire, so I'll just shake the bushes.
And if you guys, when you guys head back to the clearing that the Tatsel Worm is, Marge, you're more than welcome to try and carve out some meat.
Okay, I will try. Doesn't hurt.
Cool.
I will avert my eyes because it's a bit messy looking.
Yes.
What are you cutting it with?
I am cutting it with...
Do you have a knife or only your longsword?
I have that masterwork dagger that we found last time.
That, if I could borrow that, because I did not end up keeping a dagger that I had originally.
I also have an any tool, which could potentially be useful to you if you want to fold it into some sort of...
a fillet knife or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would work.
I hand you a magical item, which you can fold into a fillet knife.
Sweet. Thank you.
Or descaler like or whatever. Like Traveler's Swiss any Army. Tool. It's like the leather. Magic version of...
Multi-tool. Okay.
Sweet.
Give me a survival or a heal check to identify the proper anatomy of this creature and salvage some sort of food.
7.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, that wasn't a good
you
roll.
Just start hacking away at this thing, and it's pretty fucking disgusting. I think at certain points you puncture like the bladder, and it gets like some pee all over the food.
Ooh, worm pee.
It's a really rough, stinky, messy job, but I think you eventually get some very rough cut meat off of it, but it has like a lot of fat and like sinew like veins running through
sinew,
it.
Yeah.
But I think you get about 2 pounds of food.
Okay. I would just cook it really, really good just to.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of. I'm wondering if I should first like wrap it in snow and wrap it up to keep it cold before cook it now.
Well, it's early in the morning. If we've got time,
we have a fire going.
Fire's actually still got a little bit of life left in it.
So you... Okay, so you want to do this before you break camp.
Yeah.
So you need to spend time...
They could maybe do it while we're taking the tents down.
Okay, I like that.
If that makes sense. Something has to be done while we're...
While Marigold is grazing.
All right, yeah, that works then. You guys hike back to the Tatzelworm, hack it away, bring it back, cook it a little bit.
That's what we usually do when we're camping. One person will start breaking down, the other person will start making breakfast.
Yep. So you can go ahead and add 2 pounds of meat for a ghost.
Even though it's kind of gross and sinewy.
He's not a super big boy. I'm going to say 2 pounds. You can get 4 servings.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, so you guys break camp, you made some food, and you are ready to head out. It is 9 a.m. Erastus, the 16th in the year, 4713 AR. Clouds overhang our adventurers as they head back to the path, following it further south in search of Lady Argentine.
We thought it was Argentia. Yeah, we're switching it.
I thought it was Argentine. I'm no longer sure.
It was originally Argentia. I told you it was Argentine, and you started saying it.
Oh, goodness.
Well, I think it's Argentine now.
Okay.
Look, it's Lady Argent who actually cares.
Yeah,
that's very good point.
Oh, gosh, she's like a homebrew character.
All right, so you guys head back to the path, continue on your way.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
And I suppose me and Normie should be going first again.
I would think that's a good plan.
My sword's been doing us some pretty good stuff here.
And I've been very distracting for them.
Yes.
I think just because it seems important today, we're kind of following the path into the forest under the assumption that's the right thing. While we're putting out the campfire in the last few minutes for that, Vasilisa will use one of her 2 weekly uses of her automatic success Haro reading ability that comes with her Haro chosen trait. And she's going to do a reading. It takes her 10 minutes. She's just going to consult her deck. The action she's going to focus on is proceeding down the path into the forest. Whether or not this is the correct choice to make. And she gets the effects of the spell Augury as a caster of her character level.
Okay.
and she can only do this twice a week. Otherwise, she has to actually roll the sense motive check to try, and she's bad at that.
So, you just automatically succeed at and getting then helpful information as to if following this trail will lead you to your objective.
Yeah. Cool. So she's sitting with her Haro case out. She's got some incense burning, and she's just doing a card reading. Will this be the right move, just proceeding down this path?
All right. So you do your card reading. It is an automatic success. And reading the cards, it does speak to you, saying that continuing on this path will lead you to your objective. It will have a positive outcome on your mission to find Lady Argentine.
I knew it.
Well, everybody, if the cards speak truthfully, I believe we should be continuing down the path if we want to find this Lady Argentine or Tia, whatever her name may be.
Well, I suppose we should get going then, though I'm not sure if I like the idea of the cards being right, considering what they've already said.
Yeah, I'd honestly be a little more comforted if the cards were proven wrong a couple times.
Well, we should just go down the path and see what happens.
Yeah, I suppose that's the only way to find out.
So you guys continue on the path. It heads further and further to the south before it breaks off and starts heading to the west. You guys travel onward for another hour or so before you reach a very peculiar sight. You see small bundles hanging from the trees in this part of the forest, on the lowest branches tied with bits of leather and string.
The branches are tied to what?
No,
they just have bits
leather,
of
and, leather and string hang down from the branches.
Just dangling to nothing.
Well, no, they're tied in bundles, like I just read.
Oh.
Let me rephrase this.
Yeah.
Small bundles are tied with leather and string hanging from the branches in this part of the forest. How is that? Is that better?
Small bundles of leather and string.
No, small bundles are tied up with leather and string hanging from the branches.
So what are this they
what
bundles
I'm what's
of?
Hanging from the...
Right, you need to go and
that's
look
what
at
we're
them closer.
Right.
You can't tell from where you are.
Small bundles of something.
But like,
tied with
leather. There's so many different kinds of bundles.
Are they bundles
though?
Of joy?
Right.
is that what's going on here?
Do they look like a towel or like a blanket wrapped around something? Or is it like a, from a distance, what does it look like?
It looks like they're slightly shiny. They look a little bit frilly.
Ooh, okay. That's intriguing.
And they are dark in color. Like black
dark,
or
shiny.
Almost like a super
like a nightgown.
Dark purple or something like that.
Just like a nightgown.
I hate to be the one to do this to us, but we've been traveling for about 2 hours, right?
The cold
one
check.
Hour.
1 hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna do it after this area because that makes more sense to me as a way to resolve it without punishing you guys for like stuff.
Punishes James.
It makes more sense to me thematically that like after you guys go through and you do a lot of stuff to do the check after that because you were spending time to do so. And it's like slightly more stressful, and I don't know. That's the way I want to do it.
Okay.
Sounds good to me. So I would like to look from a distance at these strange bundles
okay.
before I approach them.
All right, cool. I will also join
everyone
in this
go ahead and give me perception
check.
Please.
Ooh, 21.
Oh, nice.
Jeez, we're good.
26.
25.
Something.
I rolled the best I possibly could, and I'm still one of the lowest rolls.
22.
We're so perceptive.
I am the lowest roll. Oh.
So from where you guys are standing, you're probably 30, 60 feet away, something like that. But looking at the bundles, you realize who got below 20? Just Vasilisa?
No, I got a 21.
Oh, everyone
no
got
one's
over
below 20.
Damn, guys, you be good. You all recognize these small bundles as bundles of feathers.
Like nests?
No. No, like bird feathers, bundles of bird feathers. And looking even closer, you realize that some of these are birds.
Isn't that a nest, a bundle of bird feathers?
Well,
that's what
that's
oftentimes
what birds,
that's a nest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. But they're not usually just
tied
feathers
up
tied up with strings.
So hanging from branches.
There's birds in the, like, birds as part of the
some,
bundle.
Some of the bundles are just, like, dead birds.
Yeah, that's not normal.
And some of them are bundles of bird feathers.
Got it.
Oh.
Is there something sort of knowledge check for what the fuck?
Yeah, nature? That's... Can I do a knowledge nature?
Sure.
That's like the knowledge I have.
Nature, do knowledge planes, knowledge arcana, knowledge local.
Knowledge local.
Do you want each of those?
I would...
They sound like very different.
They are all very different, and they are each going to tell you something different.
Local, I got a 20.
Local, well, you got a 20.
Nature, I got 11.
Let's start with local. Who all rolled knowledge local? All right, you got an 11?
No, 20.
20. What'd you
23.
Get? 23. 20, 23. Anybody else for local?
I'm not going to bother with their rolls.
Okay, so a 20 and 23. Right. You guys are like, is this like a local way to identify something? Is this a special like trail marking? Is this a warning?
Yeah, right.
Anything like that? Any sort of like local lore that would say this is a local thing that people use to communicate?
Right.
No, it is not.
Okay.
This is fucking weird.
Okay.
All right. What do we have next? What knowledge?
Nature.
Nature? Knowledge, nature.
But
what'd
I only
you get?
Got an 11.
Yeah, you don't know shit.
Nope.
I forgot to roll knowledge, nature just a second. 25.
25. This is not a natural occurrence. Something or somebody took the time to do this. It wasn't the birds tying themselves
those birds,
up
yeah.
in some kind of kinky mating ritual.
Oh, I want to hear David Attenborough explain these birds tying up bundles of feathers and hanging them from a tree.
The BDSM birds of Heldrin Forest are a rare sight and famously known for their kinky sex habits.
I got a 30
again,
on knowledge arcane.
British.
Arcana.
Okay.
I haven't tried planes yet.
Go ahead and give me planes.
Lady Arcana.
16 for planes.
16 for planes. And then Arcana was a 20?
30.
Whoa! Knowledge, planes, and knowledge arcana. Arcane? This is looks like some kind of ritual, for sure. These are sort of almost effigies that they have created and are hanging. This might be some sort of like superstition or magic ritual to protect the area, different things like that. It is definitely, you're getting heavy vibes of ritualistic sacrifice.
Okay, well,
of
it's
birds.
It's going to sound like I'm cheating, but unrelated to that, like just with the knowledge check that I rolled on my own, I think I would open up my pack that has my blowgun in it and just kind of like start to pull it out and get like one dart ready and just kind of like.
It's unsettling.
This is weird. Yeah,
something
unsettling.
In the area
I don't know
killed a bunch of birds and crucified them. I think
it's
you
weird.
Were very well justified to do
yeah.
that.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah, Veldine's already got his gun drawn. He's ready to.
Yeah. Vasilisa's going to pull out her deck of cards and try to detect magic. We're within 60 feet of the tree, so she's just going to do a detect magic on the tree while she says, this is... definitely some kind of ritual. Someone has sacrificed these birds for some purpose.
Oh, goodness. And Marge sees everybody pulling out their weapons. She's like, oh, and pulls out her sword and gets her shield ready.
Just be ready.
Yeah, something's definitely not right. Something's not right about those birds.
Oh, I didn't even realize they were birds. I just saw the stringies hanging and the feathers. Oh, goodness.
So you guys all ready for combat?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, I
no?
I am casting Detect Magic.
Detect Magic, okay.
On the tree from
on
where
the
we are.
On the tree where you are. You do not detect magic on
okay.
any of the nearby trees.
Well, there is no immediate magic. I am still disturbed.
And Vasilisa pulls out her wand of mage armor and taps herself.
Nice.
How's Valdine doing, Mr. Cautious and Observant?
These look pretty weird, Valdine. He's not sure what to make of this, but he's ready to shoot something if he needs to. It's kind of his thing.
Yeah.
It's good to have you around.
Seriously.
Okay, so...
which would be the tree of concern?
All of them.
All of
they
them.
All have them?
Yes.
Freaking trees.
It is this entire area.
It's the one directly next to us, that one, or other ones ahead of us?
We'll say the ones ahead of you guys.
Okay, so...
you haven't
yeah.
super approached them yet.
Yeah, that's super, super disturbing.
Can you place me on the map over there? I will take a few steps forward and see if I can get a closer look. Is there anything that's been through the area? Have I seen any signs of anything walking around recently?
Give me
can
survival.
Well, okay.
Because you guys have already done a perception of the area.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a look ahead, see if I can tell if anything's nearby.
It's a big round donkey.
Yes. It's so at least kind of marigold colored.
That's a 5 for survival.
The only tracks you can see are the tracks that you guys have been following along this makeshift path.
Looks like it's pretty clear, guys. I don't see anything ahead.
Okay, should we walk quiet just in case? Because I don't know.
Yeah. That's probably a good plan.
Try. It is a little bit hard to stealth in this snow. But
we could get off the trail if you guys are concerned about the danger of these weird trees.
We are just...
Yeah, the trail makes me feel a little
it
safer.
It is a little bit harder to proceed, and I am worried we will lose our only lead.
Then onward we go.
Okay.
I'm going to bonded mind to you and just be like, what do you think of all this?
Well, I'm not quite sure what to think of all this, but we should definitely keep our eyes open.
Okay.
Okay.
You guys proceed on the path. Going through the trees, all of these effigies hanging down, bundled bird feathers and crucified birds swing gently in the breeze as snow falls from above. You pass through the area. You see no creatures. You see no dangers. Just the mysterious signs of something that has been through here. Something that has marked its territory. Perhaps it is watching you now, waiting in the shadows. Perhaps there is nothing here at all. But nothing happens. You proceed through this section of the forest and exit on the other side where there are no birds, no feathers, no effigies hanging from the remaining trees. What was that area? Perhaps you will find out later and on another episode of the Dimension Door Podcast!
You can't do that to us!
Come on.
Has it been that long already?
It has.
That is not cool.
Start with our cold check next time.
Yeah,
it'll be
right?
Real fast.
Yep.
Be like, and we're freezing.
I'm so cold. Oh. Is it colder?
Thanks for listening to the Dimension Door podcast. If you want to see character sheets, cast information, or read a narrative adaptation written by Elizabeth, who plays Vasilisa Morozova, you should check out our website, dimensiondoorpodcast.com. I also highly recommend you visit our website because our next episode isn't going to be out for another 2 weeks, and you need something to do. Go to Dimension Door Podcast, explore the website. We have a beautiful narration written by Elizabeth that is adapted from our actual podcast. This is a novel type story written based on our episodes. It's real good. You can also connect with us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Dimension Door Podcast, and also on Twitter at Dimension Pod. This episode was edited by Zach Kreitler, who plays Norm. Therefore, I think you can safely say that this episode was edited normally. Oh, additional audio and effects used in this episode provided by several amazing artists: A. Shamalov Music, BD Productions, ARG Sound, Kevin McLeod, Bronwyn Holmes, Robert Austin, 95 Turbo Soul, Johnny Easton, Arn Anderson, Makai Symphony, Soft, and White Sand. If you want to learn how to spell any of those names or follow links to discover these people for yourselves, you can in the description or show notes. Like I said, our next episode isn't going to be coming out for another 2 weeks, but I really hope you've been enjoying the Dimension Door podcast so far, and I hope we get to listen together again soon. See you in episode 5.